Let's read together Acts chapter 22. In this chapter, we have Paul's defense before the Jewish mob in the temple courts. Let's begin by reading verses 1 through 21. Acts chapter 22, beginning at verse 1. Brethren and fathers, hear my defense before you now. And when they heard that he spoke to them in the Hebrew language, they kept all the more silent. Then he said, I am indeed a Jew, born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, taught according to the strictness of our father's law, and was zealous toward God as you all are today. I persecuted this way to the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women, as also the high priest bears me witness, and all the council of the elders, from whom I also received letters to the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring in chains even those who were there to Jerusalem to be punished. Now it happened as I journeyed and came near Damascus at about noon. Suddenly a great light from heaven shone around me, and I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? So I answered, Who are you, Lord? And he said to me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting. And those who were with me indeed saw the light and were afraid, but they did not hear the voice of him who spoke to me. So I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said to me, Arise and go into Damascus, and there you will be told all things which are appointed for you to do. And since I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of those who were with me, I came into Damascus. Then a certain Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good testimony with all the Jews who dwelt there, came to me, and he stood and said to me, Brother Saul, receive your sight. And at the same hour I looked up at him. Then he said, The God of our fathers has chosen you that you should know his will, and see the just one, and hear the voice of his mouth. For you will be his witness to all men of what you have seen and heard. And now why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Now it happened when I returned to Jerusalem and was praying in the temple, that I was in a trance, and saw him saying to me, Make haste and get out of Jerusalem quickly, for they will not receive your testimony concerning me. So I said, Lord, they know that in every synagogue I imprisoned and beat those who believe on you. And when the blood of your martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by, consenting to his death, and guarding the clothes of those who were killing him. Then he said to me, Depart, for I will send you far from here to the Gentiles. Let's begin our study of Acts chapter 22 with some background notes. In the second half of Acts chapter 21, we have the record of Paul's arrest in the temple courts in Jerusalem. Paul was falsely accused of bringing a Gentile into the inner courts of the temple complex, beyond the court of the Gentiles, and thus defiling the temple. The Jewish mob had dragged Paul out of the inner courts and was beating him up and may have killed him if the Roman military forces hadn't rescued him. Now, where did these soldiers come from, and how did they get there so quickly to rescue Paul? Well, some of you have Bibles with maps and diagrams included. If you look at a diagram of the first century temple complex, you will see a building called the Antonia Fortress attached to the northwest corner of the temple platform or temple complex. This is the barracks that is mentioned here in verses 34 and 37 of Acts chapter 21. This is where the Roman soldiers and commanders were quartered. And this, by the way, is probably where Pilate stayed when he came up to Jerusalem at the time of our Lord's arrest and trial. In fact, the stone pavement, or Gabbatha, of John chapter 19, verse 13, where the Lord was tried before Pilate, was probably the ground floor of this fortress of Antonia. This pavement can be seen today in the excavated ruins of that area of the temple complex. Now, there were stairs leading from the temple court of the Gentiles up into the Antonia fortress. It was on these stairs that Paul asked the Roman military commander if he could speak to the Jewish mob that had just beaten him up. Up until this point, the commander thought that Paul was a former Egyptian revolutionary returning from his compound in the wilderness. But when Paul indicated that he knew Greek and was from Tarsus in Cilicia, a free Roman city which was a center for culture, education, and commerce, the commander saw Paul in a different light with different status. At this point, Paul had not shared the fact that he was a Roman citizen. That will come at the end of this chapter, chapter 22, our chapter for today. The Roman military commander gave Paul permission to speak to the mob, and Paul motioned to the people to be quiet, and he spoke to them using these stairs leading up into the barracks as his elevated platform. Well, so much for background notes. Let's move now to our doctrinal teaching points for Acts chapter 22. Doctrinal teaching point number one, believers are expected to witness faithfully. Believers are expected to witness faithfully. When Paul spoke to the Jewish mob who had just finished beating him, he used Hebrew or Aramaic, which is very similar to Hebrew. This was the language of the Jewish people living in the land and would definitely have a favorable effect on the Jews from around the Roman Empire who spoke Greek and a number of other languages. Hebrew was the mother tongue and would certainly result in a listening audience, as we see. Paul's intention was to use this opportunity not just to defend himself, but more importantly, to witness faithfully for the Lord. Paul took advantage of every opportunity to witness for the Lord, and so should we. We should use tact and logic as much as possible, as Paul did, but the bottom line is to be a faithful witness. Notice that Paul started with his own personal testimony, always a good technique in witnessing. No one can argue with your own personal experience. Now, we learn a few things from Paul's personal testimony here that we did not have back in the record of Paul's conversion in Acts chapter 9. In Acts chapter 9, we don't have this part about Paul being in the temple and in a trance and the Lord communicating to him very definitely what he was to do in reference to leaving Jerusalem. Make haste and get out of Jerusalem. Now, verse 16 here in Acts chapter 22 has caused some confusion as to the purpose of baptism. Verse 16, once again, after Paul's conversion, Ananias said to him, "And now why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." It sounds at first like the Bible is teaching here that Christian baptism can take your sins away. Well, we know from the rest of the New Testament that this is not so. Now, there are a couple of Greek participles in this verse, and thus a literal translation of this verse would be as follows. Having arisen, be baptized, and have your sins washed off by calling on the name of the Lord. In other words, calling on the name of the Lord is how you have your sins removed. Baptism is symbolic of your identification with Christ who has washed your sins away. Notice how the Apostle Paul, in his personal testimony to these unsaved Jews, clearly includes the gospel. He leaves no doubt that even though he was well educated in Judaism and doing what he thought was right, he was wrong and not saved until he acknowledged Jesus Christ as his personal Savior and Lord. Well, we should follow Paul's example of witnessing. Believers are expected to witness faithfully. Doctrinal point number two, believers are not expected to suffer needlessly. Believers are not expected to suffer needlessly. Verses 22 through 30. And they listened to him until this word, and then they raised their voices and said, "Away with such a fellow from the earth, for he is not fit to live." Then as they cried out and tore off their clothes and threw dust into the air, the commander ordered him to be brought into the barracks and said that he should be examined under scourging so that he might know why they shouted so against him. And as they bound him with thongs, Paul said to the centurion who stood by, "Is it lawful for you to scourge a man who is a Roman and uncondemned?" When the centurion heard that, he went and told the commander, saying, "Take care what you do, for this man is a Roman." Then the commander came and said to him, "Tell me, are you a Roman?" He said, "Yes." The commander answered, "With a large sum I obtained this citizenship." And Paul said, "But I was born a citizen." Then immediately those who were about to examine him withdrew from him. And the commander was also afraid after he found out that he was a Roman and because he had bound him. The next day, because he wanted to know for certain why he was accused by the Jews, he released him from his bonds and commanded the chief priests and all their council to appear and brought Paul down and set him before them. Up until Paul mentioned the Gentiles in verse 21, the Jewish mob had listened quietly to Paul's testimony. But when he mentioned the Gentiles, they cried out for his death. It reminds us of when they cried out for the Lord's crucifixion, doesn't it? At this point, the commander decided that he would examine Paul by scourging to get to the bottom of why this man was causing such an uproar. Scourging, of course, could lead to a man's death or incapacitate him for life. Remember our Lord's scourging. As they were stretching Paul out to be scourged, Paul let it be known that he was a Roman citizen. It was unlawful to scourge or even bind a Roman citizen before he was proved guilty. To scourge Paul would have put this commander in danger of losing his rank and maybe even his life. Now, to be a Roman citizen in that day was quite a privilege. It could be bought, but it was costly, as we see in the case of the commander. Verse 28, the commander answered, "With a large sum I obtained this citizenship." Or you could be declared a Roman citizen if you gave some great service to the empire. Or you could be born a Roman citizen. This was the case of the Apostle Paul, who was born in Tarsus, a free Roman city. So Paul was delivered from the scourging because he claimed his right as a Roman citizen. Do you see the doctrinal point already? Believers are not expected to suffer needlessly. Now, some Christians have found fault with Paul here and say that he should have taken the scourging because Christians are to be persecuted. Well, that's ridiculous. Yes, we know that Christians will suffer persecution. 2 Timothy 3:12. All who will live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. So we know that Christians will suffer persecution, but we are never told to pray for persecution or try to be persecuted. And if the Lord gives you an opportunity to avoid scourging without compromising your testimony, take that opportunity. Follow the example of the Apostle Paul. Believers are not expected to suffer needlessly. What about practical application from Acts chapter 22? Don't run ahead of the Lord. Don't run ahead of the Lord. After Paul's conversion, Paul asked the Lord what he should do. Look again at verse 10. "So I said, 'What should I do, Lord?' And the Lord said to me, 'Arise and go into Damascus, and there you will be told all things which are appointed for you to do.'" The Lord only gave Paul the next step in his walk of faith. Go to Damascus. Notice Paul did not say, "Lord, I'm not going to Damascus until you show me what's further down the road in my life." Paul did not run ahead of the Lord. When Paul got to Damascus, the Lord revealed to him through Ananias that he would be the Lord's witness to all men of what he had seen and heard. Verse 15, once again, "And you will be his witness to all men of what you have seen and heard." But notice that no further details are given. They will come later. We, too, have to learn to let the Lord guide us step by step. Don't run ahead of the Lord.